So today we're going to talk a little bit and continue the sermon series that we've had for a while, since January, where we are looking at ways to pursue Jesus. That first Sunday that Stephanie welcomed you back into the new year, you all looked at the way of surrender. And you prayed John Wesley's covenant prayer. And then the second Sunday, you looked at the beauty and the wonder of Scripture and how God speaks through Scripture to us. And you practiced Lectio Divina here in worship. And then last Sunday, Stephanie talked about living from above. This idea that we really ought to pay attention to more than what we can see and feel. We need to pay attention to the spiritual realm that is all around us. And so our homework last week was to look for and be aware of God's presence in the world. And in all of this, God desires a communication with us. God desires a relationship with us. And most of us operate and communicate with God through prayer. And prayer, of course, is supposed to be a two-way conversation. But I don't know how it works for you, but generally for me, I have a lot to say to God, and I don't bother to spend much time listening. God really has a hard time getting a word in edgewise. And then even when I think I've heard from God, that's a toss-up whether that really was God or not. And even when I'm sure that truly God has spoken to me, that I've had some sort of divine encounter, I'm not sure I really want to share that. Because people might have some things to say about how crazy that sounds. I love the quote from Lily Tomlin. She talks about this dilemma, this idea of, you know, God is speaking, but is God really speaking? And she says, "Why is it that when we speak to God, we are said to be praying, but when God speaks to us, we are said to be schizophrenic?" That skeptical, they must be crazy kind of attitude is what keeps so many of us from sharing these powerful, sacred moments with God. There was a professor who was teaching an intro to religion class. And this subject was the subject of the class period that day. This idea of having a moment, a divine encounter with God. And so he asked his students, has anybody in the group had an encounter with God? Have you ever heard a word from God? And you can imagine what happened next. There was absolute silence in that room, and every one of those students looked at their desk. Because that is the classic sign for, don't call on me. So the professor started sharing his own encounters with God, his own experiences with the times that he had heard from God. He finished his story, more silence. Until finally, one young man raised his hand and said, "I heard from God. I heard God's voice when I was walking in the woods." "Thank you so much for sharing," said the professor. More silence. And then a young woman raised her hand and shared her story. And then another hand and another story and another hand and another story and another hand and another story until that whole hour was one story after another of how God had spoken to the people in the room. As it got to the end of the class, the professor said, "Have any of you shared this story with other people before?" And to a person, every student said, "No." Why? The professor wanted to know. Well, for some of those students, the encounter was so deeply personal that they did not want to share. For other people, it was, I'm not sure that was God, so I don't want to share it unless I'm sure. And then for others, it just was never safe for them to share and be sure they wouldn't be ridiculed. And I wonder whether if we were going to have that conversation in this room, whether it would go very similar to what happened in that professor's classroom. The truth is that many, many, many followers of Christ have heard from God. We could ask people in this room, and if you were honest, you would be able to say, yes, yes, I've heard from God. A Stanford researcher did a research project and asked people how they heard from God. And for many people, it was a time during prayer where they either heard a voice in their head or they saw some sort of image during their prayer time. But for others, it's a physical touch. And for others, it's a voice they actually hear with their ears. And in fact, in a Gallup poll, Gallup discovered that 23% of all Americans would admit to the fact that they had heard God's voice or seen an image or a vision during prayer time. God has been speaking to his people for a very long time. The evidence comes to us first from Scripture. One of my favorite Old Testament stories is the story of Samuel and Eli. Because when I was teaching Sunday school, it was the best story to act out with kids. Because there's just a lot of action, and the hero of the story is a kid. So Samuel is an old priest, and Eli is an old priest, and Samuel is the boy that is his student. And every night, it's their practice for Eli to go to his room and sleep, and Samuel to sleep in the temple. And so one night, Samuel heard God call him by name three times. But Samuel didn't know it was God. He thought it was Eli. And so he'd pop up from his spot and run to Eli's room and ask Eli what he wanted. Until finally, Eli figured it out. And he sent Samuel back to his bed. And he said, "The next time you hear that voice, say these words. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." When we move from the Old Testament to the New Testament, it's clear in the Gospels that Jesus is in constant communication with God. And we would expect that because Jesus is God's son. But Jesus also makes it clear that kind of communication and that kind of relationship is promised to those who are followers of Christ. Our scripture today speaks of that promise. In the passage we're going to read, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. The Pharisees are the leaders, the religious leaders of the day. And they are believers in God, but they've kind of gotten caught up in the rules and the regulations of the faith. And Jesus is going to liken them to bad shepherds, shepherds that lead people away from God's grace and God's love. So as I read the scripture, I do want you to kind of use your imagination. See the pictures in your head. Try to imagine what it must be like for Jesus to be standing in the circle of people and inviting them into relationship as being sheep to the shepherd. Try to figure out what you might be seeing, what you might hear, what you might, I don't know, touch and feel. And pay attention as Jesus speaks, as if Jesus was speaking right to you. So this scripture comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, beginning in verse 7. "So again Jesus said to them, 'Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy, and I come that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd, does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because the hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. So when Jesus compares us to sheep, he promises that we will know the shepherd's voice, and the shepherd will know us. Jesus, the good shepherd, promises to care for us, to meet our needs, to make sure that we come in and go out and find pasture, and most importantly, enjoy an abundant life, that intimate relationship with God the Father through Jesus the Son. So it is critical that we learn how to discern God's voice amid all of the distractions that we might be a part of. So, thankfully, we get that ability. When we say yes to Jesus Christ, we receive the ability to learn and to know God's voice. There is a mountain of evidence that says that followers of Christ hear a word from God. That's true if you look at the New Testament. That's true if you look through the ages of the number of people who have reported encounters with God. That's even true of your own friends and family who have shared their own stories of their time when they've heard from God. But I gotta admit, it is tricky to try to figure out, was that God or was that just me? And sometimes we want a sign. We want a burning bush. You know, if that was you, God, give me a sign. We're most likely not going to get one of those burning bushes. And we're going to have to live with our doubts and our questions. But that uncertainty kind of keeps us on our toes, and we pay attention. And we go on this journey to try to figure out whether that word we heard was a word for us or just a word from us. So fortunately, God really desires to have this communication with us and has many ways to do it. John Wesley called these ways means of grace. God's preferred method of communication is always going to be Scripture. You all learned a little bit about that when you did Lectio Divina a couple of weeks ago. But God also speaks through worship and speaks through song and speaks through prayer and speaks through silence and speaks through other people's experience. God speaks in so many ways that might be different for different people, but all in an effort to communicate with us. I will have to speak to the fact that God really doesn't answer each one of our requests for discernment. You all have experienced that, praying for something and not getting an answer and not hearing from God. And that bothers me a little bit, and it bothered me until I got this explanation, which kind of makes sense to me. So if you're a teenager in the room, or you remember being a teenager, I'm sure it seemed to you like your parents told you what and when to what to do and when to do it every single waking moment of the day. They never let up. But that isn't really what happened, because no parent would stand over their children and make sure that they paid attention and did and told them to do everything and when to do it. Because then the child wouldn't grow, wouldn't mature, wouldn't become an adult capable of making their own good decisions and being confident in that. So it's like that with God. God gives us some resources so that we can figure things out on our own. We've got scripture. We've got our own reasoning mind. We've got our own experiences and the experiences of other people. We learn and grow in the faith sometimes by working something out for ourselves. And when we can't do that, God will provide guidance. But it takes a little bit of voice recognition to hear that guidance. Voice recognition for how God's voice might sound and what that might be like. So let me just give you an example of what happened with me a couple of weeks ago. Some of you know that I've been gone. I was gone to take care of my dad in Ohio for 3 weeks. In November, he had pneumonia, and it was really awful, and it took him a while to recover from that. But once he got out of the hospital, we noticed that he was still running fever, and he was increasingly tired and confused, and we could not get the doctor's attention. We couldn't explain that to the doctor, so they'd go, come on in, let's check it out. So we went weeks with nothing, until finally in early January, he had an appointment with the doctor, and after the test, discovered that he had a terrible infection in his chest. So they put in a chest tube and drained that out, and we're hoping that we're all done with that now. But I can tell you that in the midst of that, it was frustrating not to know what was going on. And we had been praying that God would solve this medical mystery since November. So God was silent, and we had to just do our very best to try to do our very best to take care of my dad. It wasn't until the day of the chest tube surgery that I actually heard from God. And the conversation went like, I was on my way to the house to change clothes, and conversation went sort of like this. God said, you know, you really ought to trust me. And I said, but God, look at the things that have been happening. How am I supposed to know whether this surgery is going to be okay? What if something goes wrong? And I had this long list. And God said, who has your dad's best interest at heart? You do, God. Then why don't you just hand over this burden of worry and concern? Why will you not trust me with your dad? Because I'm not sure you'll do what I want. And God just let me sit in silence because I had to think about what I had just said. Pretty selfish. Not really trusting anybody. Certainly not trusting God. God came back with, trust me. And then there was another silence because it takes me a while to give up some control. Okay, God. I trust you with my dad, and I trust you for the outcome. So the conversation finished up, and then I had to kind of weigh it out. Was that me arguing with myself, or was that God? And in the end, it sounded like other conversations I had had with God. and other times when God had insisted on an attitude adjustment on my part. What God needed now from me was trust and obedience. To listen to God requires practice, and it requires cooperation. And so that's your homework this week, is to practice. Put yourself in a place that is conducive to listening to God. Now, we can't demand that God speak, but we can certainly create the conditions so that we might hear. And one of the first things you can do is to pray Samuel's prayer. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. And then be aware of any means of grace that God might use to speak to you. Through scripture, through other people, through prayer, through silence. Just pay attention this week and be open to the possibility that God has a word for you. You can do your listening pretty much anywhere you want, but the church especially will be open this week so that you can come in and pray. Some of you might be sitting there going, oh, I think this is an assignment I will just skip. It's too hard, and there's absolutely no guarantee that God's going to talk to me. Let me encourage you not to do that. Because Jesus has invited you to be a sheep. Jesus has invited you and told you that he cares for you and that he will meet your needs. And Jesus has invited you into God's kingdom, into the abundant life, which is an intimate relationship with God through Jesus Christ. You have an invitation to offer to God your needs and have God meet those. You have an invitation to tap into God's discernment for difficult decisions. You have an opportunity to learn and grow and become a more deeply devoted follower of Christ. And then you have an opportunity to share your experience with others, so that they might come to believe and know Jesus for themselves. So it is my prayer for you that you hear the voice of God this week as you listen intently. In the name of Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit, amen.